You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Josefa Gatilius. Josefa, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for the interview.
Josefa, we're going to talk about your work and what you're doing now, but of course this is kind of an unusual time. It's December 30th in 2020, almost the end of a very unusual year. So I know you've been busy. How do you want to talk about, or let's just hear, what are you working on now? Because it seems like you already have a vision for 2020.
2020
beyond.
Yeah. I think the vision for now is Inhabiting New Earth, is a new series. I work in series. It's somewhat based on New Age ideas of Gaia shifting and because of the pandemic, but also other astrological things are going on. My personal take, however, has been thinking about the younger generation and the kind of burdens that they carry, financial, psychological, global, feeling some shame and guilt as a baby boomer about it. Mm-hmm. And it's always figurative with me, so content is very important to me. So when I'm painting, I'm thinking of them right now with Inhabiting New Earth, the new series. I'm basing a lot of it, because I don't get out much, I base it on pretty much what's around me. I do have a bed and breakfast in the summer, so I was doing sketches of the mostly young people who are my guests and thinking about them. And they're lovely people, but they're going through such a dramatic, strange life transitions, and I felt I wanted to express that in the painting.
So let's talk about that. These paintings that you're talking about expressing this in, they're figurative works, and they have a narrative to them. As you said, there's younger people in them, and they're about that narrative that you just mentioned, but also quite a number of issues about as you were saying, Gaia and a shift and more. Is that correct? Are they all in that, or do you feel like you're focusing just on the sort of future of a particular generation?
No, all of it, what you mentioned. Some of them are just scenes when they're sitting outside. Some of it's as if I'm looking through a window, viewing them, a lot of them from the back, at their generic figures. There's a sense they're lounging in a way. They're relaxing, but it's not as if they're in an idyllic situation. I think that the light can be very bright on them, the light around them. There's a sort of a burning light rather than a sweet light of sunlight. That's one of the issues I'm working with, just the kind of light that is around them.
Let's talk about that, because type of light and the scenes you're creating, I mean, are addressing so many issues, as you're saying. Do you want to talk a little bit about it? It seems like at the right time of year to talk about it, or any time, but you're talking about a shift that's happening. This was an incredibly unusual year on so many levels, and this is all working its way into your painting. So do you want to jump into, you know, one of the forces that's really motivating it, to talk a little bit about Gaia or this shift as it pertains to the paintings you're making now and this generation? What's happening? I'm not sure where to jump into that, but I want to get into discussing some of that.
Well, while I'm painting, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of it's very far out and channeled work. And I don't listen to music. I listen to people talking, and various, a lot of esoteric, and pretty upbeat, because they're talking about channeling, you know, the spirit guides and channeling the angels and channeling the nature spirits. And that all probably comes into my work because I am listening to all this far out stuff.
And what is all that far out stuff saying? I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm with you on all of that. So is there a particular message coming through on all this? You're listening to all these podcasts. What are you gathering from it? What are you interpreting or taking in from all of this?
I think that, well, hopefully what I'm interpreting is what we're seeing politically, what we're seeing globally, that people are reexamining their lives. They're saying that there's a raising of vibration, that we're entering into the fifth dimension. That's often a phrase that they'll use. I think that, let's take these young people. I've spoken a little bit with them, obviously with the social distancing stuff, and hearing their bewilderment, and at the same time their fascination with the idea of shifting their lifestyles and no longer having the same priorities. And they're really different than us, you know, than me, than my generation, and the millennials I'm talking about, and even younger. It's almost as if they're a different type of human being. They're the ones that I've been in contact with, let's put it that way.
And what age range is this? This is millennials, which is what?
Millennials would be, and even younger. Let's say we'll start at the age of 20, going up to the age of about 38.
And what is so different? What are you seeing that's so different, if you can...
Yeah, well, there's one thing that I've actually explored in my paintings, just because I've always had an interest in it, gender. Besides, you know, there's a whole racial problem that's obviously always been there. But the idea of what is a man, what is a woman, nowadays I identify as a woman, I identify as a man, but I do not identify by that. And my paintings, a lot of them already address that, you know, when I first started 5 years ago, where I was fascinated with what in my terms would be called androgyny. In their terms would be maybe binary, or I'm meeting so many who are they may be born, say, as a woman. They do not identify as a woman. And I'm not saying they're changing anything, but they want to be identified, for example, as they. And it's becoming more and more common. I'm meeting up with that, and they want me to use that pronoun they. And that interests me as a figurative painter, because that's something I've often, I might do a painting of. For example, a while ago I did a painting of a cop, and I said, is he, you know, a cop, or is he a Hell's Angel, or is he a Proud Boy, or is he one of the village people, you know? And
right.
I'm interested in that the blurred lines, and the fact that they are doing this very consciously and respectfully toward one another, and want to be addressed that way is fascinating to me. And as a figurative,
it is fascinating. And you talked also about, I mean, to talk about another subject that's related and perhaps not there, that it's the fifth dimension. What does that mean exactly? And you know, part of the reason I'm asking this is it relates to your work, but also there was a lecture that I hosted by Anne McCoy. I don't know if you know her and her work, but she talked a lot about alchemy. She talked a lot about kind of imagery from everything from Carl Jung to alchemical journeys, ancient and to now. And And there was an overwhelming response to it. People seemed to really want to know more about alchemy. And that struck me as wonderful, but also surprising because it's so esoteric to so many. So it made me think more about what is the age of Aquarius? What's going on? Is there a shift happening right now? Because I do a lot of talks and interviews, and that one was, you know, in my world, kind of viral. Right? Almost 300 people showed up to a talk on that. So is that part of what you're talking about? Is there some shift going on? Is that the fifth dimension? I started re-listening to that song, Age of Aquarius, and finding out some of it's true, some of it's not true. Yeah. What's your view on that? What is the fifth dimension and what's happening there?
I think that there's also a positive side to all the negativity that we've seen throughout these years, is that with the shift that is happening, and I think we can all attest to this, we've all witnessed this, the dark side, the shadow, is coming up very much more, right? So that's part of, I think, the shift, is that there might be the information technology, so that's why we're being more informed of it, but that we're seeing what seems is this overwhelming problems, systemic injustice and racism and sexism and just an enormous amount of just cruelty that we see in the news. That the fact that it's becoming more visible would be part of the shift. I think that would be one way of looking at it, that it's coming up really to be cleaned up and no longer hidden. And Carl Jung would probably agree with that, too, the use of the shadow in Carl Jung. So that would be maybe a sign of the shift. I feel like I think the younger people also feel a little overwhelmed with how much is coming up and how much needs to be changed and can it be changed. And I was part of the revolutionary movement years and years ago, and it looked like some great stuff was happening, and it happened for maybe, you know, 3 years. And then came such a reaction. So I'm of two minds of how much humankind actually changes.
So talk about that, the two minds, that at once something could change, and you're saying this is like a lesson from the 60s as well. Things could change, they might change, but also you're being of two minds, you're saying something might not change the way it's hoped for?
Well, historically, things haven't changed too much. That's part of when you look at the long view, it doesn't look that promising. Two steps forward, one step back kind of idea that I've seen. And when after Nixon fell, then Carter was brief, and then came Reagan. So that was a shock to me, just Reagan coming in. And I think that was a kind of a clarion call for what was underlying all this positive energy. But I want to be very hopeful about it for the future. And there's certainly more
marvelous
things going on.
I want to, too. I mean, it seems to me like this huge shift, this huge change. And by that, I just mean, you know, all this is, as you're saying, kind of on the surface. It's all coming up. It's everyone's discussing a lot of this. I'm certainly hearing a lot of it on this program and in different ways. And as all this is coming up, it's, you know, artists are being affected by it, of course, and are expressing parts of this. So, I appreciate your kind of being of two minds. You know, something amazing could happen, you know, or is happening, and at the same time, it's possible that these revolutions could come and go, and you're saying there won't be a huge change. Right?
I mean, just personally, I know, and we all know this, that there's almost two extremes. And the one extreme is the people pushing back, and we see that we take something like as simple as we're now becoming so cognizant of essential workers and how truly essential they are and horribly paid and mistreated and the lowest of the totem pole in many respects compared to a CEO and yet all that money just pours into the CEOs and the essential workers just get shafted and their lives right now are at risk, are actual risk. And still the powers that be haven't changed that. There's no discussion about let's reorganize society a little bit and put our priorities in order. Because there's still
Right.
You know, there hasn't been a power shift yet. I could put it this way. There might be, hopefully, that we'll start with a spiritual shift, and then maybe there'll be a power shift. But
And so let's talk about that a little bit, because that sounds, you know, in some ways more probable, but it's hard to say. What does a spiritual shift mean?
Well, I think the spiritual shift would be almost the beginning of a matriarchy, let's just put it that way, like what's happened in Iceland or something, where in Iceland, from what I understand, that the collapse in 2008, the women stepped forward and said, why did this happen? It happened because society is about competition and power grabs. And whereas in nature and actually in reality, the only way we've ever survived as a species or any species can survive is by cooperation. So the Darwinian model is definitely being shafted, thank goodness. And the new idea is survival, not of the fittest, but survival of the most cooperative. And so if that can happen, then I think there will be a power shift as well. But it first has to start with, obviously, a mental shift of, it's not about power grabs. It's not about who has the most and who take away from the other, and accumulation, but more about sharing and cooperating, and that's how we can possibly survive. And that would be great to see. And I think it's going to be inevitable because it's not working the other way. The Darwinian model just doesn't work.
Right. And your paintings have shifted in regard to this. You're talking about them shifting to focus on a new generation, millennials. Is there what else is happening in the paintings? Because they're also, your paintings are taking in all these podcasts. Your paintings, in a way, are about all of these issues, right?
Right, and it's because I haven't traveled. As you saw, maybe on my website, which is 2 years old, I have not updated it. Sorry, but. The last, I think, on there was the Roman elegies, and that came from a different standpoint of being in Rome, where I'd been many times. But this time I was there really overpowered and haunted by the abuse, the church abuse, the Catholic Church abuse. So here I am in Rome, which I think is the most beautiful city in the world. And I love the architecture, and I love walking around Rome. But this time, it was so fraught
This was last year you're talking about. I'm sorry. You were in Rome.
Yes, exactly. Before the pandemic, of course. But my experience there was so fraught with sadness and mourning and also anger about the church. And in fact, when I saw the Pope just appear in front of the public, it was in the middle of this lightning storm, just striking down on the, you know, with all these people outside. It was really quite dramatic. And so my paintings then were focusing more on just the intersection of Roman history and the church and what was going on then and my feelings about it. And So not traveling anymore, I realized I had to stay closer to home. Wasn't even in New York City or anything, just in the Hudson Valley. And that's when I started to focus a little more on just the issues of generation and young people. Although I love painting older people, but right now that's what I'm looking into. Yeah. And life is strange to me anyway. So I wouldn't say the pandemic has heightened the strangeness, but I do feel life is always strange. So I'm sure my paintings reflect that.
And where will these paintings go? Is there a show lined up, or what's happening next with these? And people can go online and see more that are listening to this, but how will they get out into the world?
Yeah, I had some studio visits. I missed having studio visits, and luckily I did have some buyers come by and take away some. And also it was good to test it on another pair of eyes. But locally, right now I have a show at the Albany Institute of History and Art. But that was already scheduled for about a year ago. So I don't know what's going to happen to them. You know, I did apply for a grant, and who knows if that'll come through, but I just play that by ear. There's no particular thing going on right now. I mean, there's local shows that I'm in, but.
Well, listen, that's good. That's exciting. So the work keeps getting out there, and we're entering a new year. The last interview I'm doing this year, so it seems sort of auspicious to be talking about all these new things that could be happening. Before I ask you the last question about what you're reading, is there anything you want to add in terms of of understanding your work or even what's to come?
I don't have anything more to add. I appreciate you asking, but I'm looking forward to 2021. I was looking forward to 2020. I thought that those wonderful, the new numbers, 2020 vision, was going to be very exciting. And I think in its own way, at least in my little world, it was exciting. Not looking at it globally and not looking at the illness and death. I'm just speaking of on another.
Well, that's such an irony in a way, you know, in doing these interviews, and I've done, you know, at least a few hundred this year, almost every artist says that, you know, in a sense, it's been a good year for them, and it's a hard thing to say, but I hear from a lot of people involved in a lot of different areas that, you know, they've, in the arts, that they've gotten a lot done this year. This was a good year, and that is a kind of odd sort of notion, right? 2020. What was 2020 about this year that would seem to be like a really something of clarity? But for many artists, that has meant deepening their practice. They're already working indoors, and they spent a lot more time doing the same.
Yes, and being free of a lot of obligations, and that I know I felt free of until, of course, Zoom and WebEx came. But there were a couple of months that were. It was like in the Hudson Valley, like being in a blizzard in the Hudson Valley where everything's hushed and quiet and everyone's staying home. And I was just able to focus on my work and never worry about anything else that I had to do. I was free of it all.
Right.
That didn't last too long, but that was good.
So let me ask you about what you're reading. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, I'm a writer, and so I've read so much. Reading has become quite stale. Besides being a news junkie, I would say the extraordinary book, which is not a new book, it's relatively new, Eloquence of the Hedgehog, which I absolutely recommend. It's witty, it's charming, it's challenging. It's breathtaking work. The writing is just extraordinary.
Thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and your work, and also want to wish you a happy new year.
Oh, happy new year to you too. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.